Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim, he's Dusty. Last quarter, we talked about reasons for optimism for this Penn State 2020 football season. To be fair and balanced, Dusty, we've got to look at the other side. We got to look at reasons for pessimism. And before you even get the opportunity, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to say the wide receivers. So there you go. That's a reason for pessimism. Wide receivers or lack of them. Go ahead.
And I think when you say pessimism, it's just about, like, this time of year, it's just about questions that you have that need to be answered and how readily available you believe the solutions could be. You know, it's all a projection game to determine where Penn State's strong, where they're weak. But at wide receiver, it's pretty easy to forecast that. And that's not even getting, you know, the turnover at the position with the leadership now with Taylor Stubblefield, you know, that's a whole separate issue. But, you know, John Dotson, more than likely your number one guy. I think there's a good chance that he can deliver something that resembles a breakout season. You know, I think last year, underutilized would be the best way to put it with him. You know, I think he flashed, he showed big play potential, in the deep game. I think he averaged over 17 yards a catch. So I think there's a good chance that he emerges as a good guy. But, you know, when your number one wide receiver is 5'9" and you're not sure what else you have, that's how you get to this point where you're trying to figure out, is this a Big Ten caliber wide receiver unit? And there's a possibility of it. But we have no idea what to expect.
And the other part to this pessimism is we're now going on a couple seasons of disappointing play at wide receiver. Remember 2 years ago, it was about the drops. You know, guys just couldn't hold on to the ball. Then going into a new season, new coach, a turnover. We thought we'd see someone like Justin Shorter step up. He'd be that big receiver to go along with KJ Hamler. That never came to fruition. Nobody else seemed to step up. So what we also have, as you said, you know, maybe the turnover, this is creating opportunity for new players. That's the good part. That's the optimistic part about this. A new coach there may create also help with those new players and new opportunity. But right now, the history, the trend the last couple of years is we haven't seen great play from the wide receivers. And until they prove it, that's going to be a major question mark on this team. Right, Dusty?
I would agree with that. And I do agree that there's a potential for, you know, at least one young guy to make a statement and get on the field early. That could be Keandre Lambert, who enrolled in January, currently taking online classes because of all this. I think Parker Washington is polished and really, really good. Physically, you know, he's 5'10", he's over 200 pounds. Like he's built for this. You know, I think those two guys in particular go to the top of the list for me. Maybe it's Daniel George. Maybe it's John Dunmore. Those are names that we talked about last week as potential breakout players. There's no shortage of candidates for this, but the candidates haven't really shown how close they are. So that's just the big question mark. And, you know, to put a positive spin on it, you know, as I mentioned in the previous, you know, the reasons for optimism, is that you're probably not going to be asking the wide receivers to carry the offense for you. You've got Pat Freiermuth. There's a good chance you've got a pretty good number two, number three tight end in there. You've got an outstanding offensive line that should be able to dictate the tone and take games over and create space and pass protect and really amplify the entire offense. You've got a quarterback in a good position to take a big step forward. You've got a deep group of running backs. Are you really going to lean on wide receivers? Now, they're going to have to make timely plays. You're always going to have to make timely plays. You're not going to be able to keep the focus on the middle of the field. You're going to have to At least show you're willing to test the perimeter of the field, to throw the deep ball every so often. Are these guys going to be able to make plays? We don't know the answer to that question, which is why maybe it's not pessimism, but skepticism. You know, there's a fine line, I guess. But the wide receivers have a lot to prove, no doubt.
And, okay, let's change the name of this, Reasons for Skepticism. You know the word. Anyway, the other opportunity here at wide receiver is with a new offensive coordinator. I believe last year you sometimes had Sean Clifford lean so much on Pat Freiermuth and KJ Hamler. I don't believe everything was done that could have been done to give some of the other receivers an opportunity. And new coaching staff, as far as the offensive coordinator, may help in that regard. So we hope to see that. Now, the flip side, I mentioned the new offensive coordinator being a positive and part of the optimism. But what you also have is, on, especially on offense, new offensive coordinator, new wide receiver coach, new offensive line coach. And this isn't a normal year. You also have the issues with what's going on where you didn't have the spring practice. Should we at least think about the fact that that's a huge turnover in the coaching staff on offense? They might be a little slow out of the gate to get what they have planned for this team together early in the season. Is that a possibility, Dustin?
I think that's right at the top of the list of reasons to have some reservations or concern about the year, is that, you know, now we don't have spring practice. Everybody's in the same boat. Penn State's affected by that differently than most teams. Not every team in the Big Ten is replacing the nuts and bolts of their whole offensive coaching staff with those three coaches that you named. Kirk Ciarrocca has been doing this long enough that I have some belief that he can work through those challenges more so than, you know, Frank, not to throw Ricky Ronnie under the bus, but frankly, if this was Ricky Ronnie's first year as a young offensive coordinator, I'd be even more concerned about that. But yeah, it's a concern. Then you couple that with, you know, you're going to Virginia Tech, a tough road environment, week two of the season. You know, you're at Michigan on October 3rd. You know, that's what, week five of the season. You got to buy to collect yourself. Then you go to Iowa and Ohio State. Really, the schedule is front loaded, and it's kind of set up that you better have your P's and Q's in order before you get the season started, or there's going to be opportunity to stumble. Even Northwestern at home, you know, there's a 50-50 chance you get really good Northwestern versus really bad Northwestern. Flip a coin. You know, is Northwestern going to be a peewee team in the first half of the year or the second half of the year? So, yeah, I think there are some early challenges in the schedule, and it's coupled with these unique challenges of trying to install the offense in a way that, you know, frankly, has never been done in college football. Not like this.
Exactly. So that's another one of my concerns. Let me give you one more. And this one is also an opportunity. And there were many issues with the defensive backfield last year. Now, that's an area for improvement. There's the optimist. There's so much that can be improved on there. But until that happens, you've got to be at least a little skeptical of that position group. Last year, there were missed assignments, and there were also just plays where the defensive back did not even turn around to see the ball coming. So they were losers on those 50-50 balls so often, along with just missing their assignments. A lot of room for improvement there, Dusty. Do you think we're going to see it?
Well, I thought so. Brent Pry kind of got into the pass defense. It was early last week when he spoke to reporters and really just hinted at the multifaceted nature of that problem. You know, I think the players didn't play well enough. I think that's true. I think they weren't put in the best positions. And I do think, and Brent Pry even suggested this as a possibility as a coaching staff, that they overemphasized stopping the run at the expense of slowing down the other team's passing game. And I think it's probably all those things, but in this day and age, if that is an issue, as a defensive coordinator, why are you skewing in the direction of stopping the run as opposed to stopping the pass? You know, especially against teams with good quarterbacks, you know, your Tanner Morgans and your Justin Fields. Why are you buckling down to slow down the run game when it should be the other way around? To your point, you know, I think there's a chance to get better play at safety. You got one of those starters back in Lamont Wade. Jaquan Brisker has a chance to maybe be better than Garrett Taylor was last year. You have a chance at the cornerback spots. You know, John Reed was good. Was he a lockdown guy on the perimeter? I'm not sure. They've got a lot of options at cornerback. And so there's a chance, but I think the number one path to improvement is looking back at that game film as a coaching staff and being like, we got to change our approach here. You know, I think if the approach is adjusted and fixed and it's better, then the personnel is a secondary issue in my eyes.
Yeah, that's where the coaches have to self-scout and take a look. And now I'm doing this off memory, not looking at statistics, so maybe my memory's a little bit skewed. But it just seems so often they had trouble getting off the field on third and long. And that's an area they could use a lot of improvement. Am I remembering wrong, Dusty, or was that an issue?
I think anecdotally, too many third and long conversions, I think, is a fair criticism. That's a position where your defense has an advantage. You know, and to give up that advantage as frequently as they seem to, again, anecdotal, I don't have all the conversions in front of me. I'm not sure. But one other thing, and it's complimentary to the pass defense, is, you know, where's the defensive line going to be? Where's the pass rush going to be? You mentioned earlier just, you know, there are some possibilities of breakouts, but you're going to need multiple defensive ends to do something that they've never done before. If that defensive end unit is going to be at least as good as they were last year, is Shocker Tony a number one? You know, is he a guy that can thrive with a target on his back? I don't know. Is Jason Oway ready to translate that premium tools, those tools into premium production? It would seem so, but he hasn't done it yet. Adisa Isaac, you know, he looks to me a little bit like Yetur Gross-Matos with his frame and his approach and all that. Is he ready for the big time? You're going to probably need him to be. And Shane Simmons, is he going to salvage his career? Is he going to be healthy and effective? And he's going to be, you know, if all those things happen, you've got a pretty good four deep there. But there are some variables for sure. Defensive tackle, I think they're going to be in good shape there. But those are question marks for me. And we're just going to have to wait to see the season unfold and all that to really get a gauge for it. Let's take a quick break, Jimmy. Come back. Off the radar breakoffs. We'll stick on the defensive side of the ball. That's coming up after this.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma. Or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the Blue-White Spring Game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the Spring Game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.